Well, one of the things that I enjoyed the most when I was in student ministry was when I got to host our senior dinner. And that was a night where we would get all of our seniors together with their parents, and we would just celebrate this big milestone. And we would also have some fun together and play some games. One of my favorite games we would play with them is we would play some trivia with these seniors, these 17 and 18-year-olds. And what we would do is we would put different things up in front of them. They were historical events, famous people, memorable commercials from the years in which they were little and growing up. And we would ask, what is this thing? Or what do you think this is about or for? And it was so funny because 99% of the parents in the room knew exactly what they were, what they were for. It was drilled into their heads. But when you would ask these 17 and 18-year-olds, they had no clue. And it was always so funny to hear their guesses as to what these things were. And my all-time favorite question we ever asked them was just simple, and it was, what is this sound? Yeah. And as you can imagine, I don't think we ever had a senior actually guess correctly what that was. And I'll never forget, one time there was an answer that said, was that the first time aliens ever reached out to us? They said, no, that is just the sound of literally the internet. That was a different time. But it's funny to think about. And if you think back to that time in the world when that was literally the sound of the internet, and you think to today, a lot has changed. And as I was thinking about that, I realized, like, back then, I expected and was ready to spend minutes or hours trying to do things on the internet, like to connect to the internet, to get to a website, to download an image or a song or an album. I was prepared and ready to spend minutes or hours doing so. But today, in my house, if my internet is even the slightest bit slow, I get frustrated. And I move on to the next thing, or I think, I don't want to do that anyways, or who's hogging the internet in our house, right? Like, I get frustrated, and a lot has changed in those years. I also think about the technology we have today. Like, we have become addicted to two-day shipping, right? Like, we love to buy things on the internet. We love to watch it as it comes to our house. Like, okay, here it is, and we look up where is it in the process, and then if there's ever a delay, as you can imagine, we're probably frustrated. And we're not really amazed anymore by the miracle that is two-day shipping really almost anywhere in the world. And it really is this reminder, like, technology I love has made our lives so much easier and so much faster, but I also think that one of the byproducts of that is it has made us more impatient. And really, as we look up, we have just become impatient people across the board in so many different ways. And it reminded me that Tim Keller, who is a pastor in New York City, he said that we actually live in a culture of impatience. What he means by that is we begin to believe that our impatience, our desire and our drive to be faster and quicker, we believe is somehow tied to our success in life. When you think about what it means to be successful in your work or the workplace, or who is successful, you probably do not think of someone who's patient. You think of somebody who's driven, who's a go-getter, who doesn't like to wait and gets things done. That's the world that we all live in. But really, that stands in such stark contrast to a key characteristic and aspect of God's love and his very essence. And I think it's a great place for us to start this morning as we just begin this conversation. And it's a simple truth, and it's this. It's that God is patient. God is patient. Look at what Psalm 103 says. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Psalm 78 also says this. It says, yet he was merciful. He forgave their iniquities and did not destroy them. Time after time, he restrained his anger, and he did not stir up his full wrath. Now, this is such good news for you and I, that patience is not something that God tries to give us or show us or he attempts to, that patience literally is who God is. It is his character and his very essence. In Psalm 78, I love that it reminds us there that it says time after time, he restrained his anger. It's a reminder for you and me that God doesn't just show us patience once or in a moment of mercy or need. It is time after time that God is patient with us. God is patient. It's simple, but it's deep. But there's something else we need to know, and it's this. It's that God's patience is not indifference. God's patience doesn't mean that he is indifferent to our sins. You see, God is still the judge, and there will come a day where God will hold us accountable for what we have done and whether or not we've chosen to give our lives to Jesus and trust and accept his gift of forgiveness. I've heard it best described that God's patience is a delaying of his response to our sin, that God delays his eventual response so that we might reflect on who he is and what we've done and repent and turn to him. And even though God delays that response and he shows us immense patience, there will come a day where God will be the judge. Look at what 2 Peter 3 says. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. And Hebrews 10:30 says, for we know him who said, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, and again, the Lord will judge his people. Jesus will return. And when he does, he will hold every person accountable to whether or not they have chosen to accept his forgiveness and his gift of new life. And yet, even though this is coming, even though we know that Jesus is going to come again, and that will be the day when we are judged, God is patient. Look at what 2 Peter 3 also says. But do not forget one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. This is a reminder that God does not view time the way that we do. It says 1,000 years are like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years to him. We do not understand or see God's timeline and when he's going to do what he's going to do. But he's telling us here that God has delayed that day so that people may come to follow him. It says that God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. He wants more people to come into the kingdom of God. God has not sent Jesus back because he is waiting for more people, and he's giving us time to turn to him. But that day will come to an end. It's also a reminder for us of this, that God's patience draws us in to believe. God is patient with us before we even know him. Before we choose to step over the line of faith and give our lives to Jesus, God is patient with us in our sin. And as we are figuring out who he is and what he's doing. You see, we view it as God has given us these rules of things we need to do, and if we break the rules, then there are these consequences that are waiting for us. It's true. But so many times we convince ourselves and believe that it is our fear of those consequences. It's the fear of the hammer that is waiting to hit us that draws people to faith in him. And what I want you to know this morning is that is not the full story of how God leads people in to follow him. He also leverages his patience. Look at what Romans 2:4 says. Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, his forbearance, and his patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? God draws people in to who he is and into belief with his kindness as well. God shows them patience and forbearance, and he delays his response so that they may have an opportunity to believe. And I love this so much. Look at what the Apostle Paul wrote about his own story and what God has done with him. This is 1 Timothy 1. He said, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That's a big way to start. He said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. The Apostle Paul starts by saying, hey, We're all messed up, and I believe that I am the worst one. And yet in my story with God, he has shown me patience. He has allowed me time to repent and to understand and reflect on who he is and what I've done and to come to him. God has shown restraint, repentance, and kindness and allowed him to come to belief. I mean, think about Jesus' interaction with sinners, many of which we've seen the last few months as we've walked through the Gospel of John together. We've seen him with the woman at the well, who every person in the community knew her story, her mistakes, all of her sins well. And yet Jesus comes to her, and he doesn't write her off as that sinner who will always be and do those things. He meets her, even though that is true of what she has done. He meets her with kindness, compassion, patience, and he speaks to her. He tells her everything he knows about her, and yet he offers her new life, a fresh start, and forgiveness with God. The many people that Jesus sat with and ate with, the countless sinners that people criticized him for, what I want you to see is even though that is true of who they were and their actions were not pleasing to God, God still met them. He didn't assume that that's who you are, that's who you will always be. He wanted more for them, and he met them with kindness, compassion, he showed them patience, and he drew them in with those things. The truth is, Jesus was patient with them, and Jesus was patient with you. And even in my own life, I wish that I could tell you that my story was the first time I ever stepped foot into a church, that it clicked, and I gave my life to Jesus and never looked back, and nothing, I never messed up again. But the truth is, I grew up around churches, church environments. I grew up knowing and hearing a lot about God, but I didn't really know him. And it was years of me running away from God, running the wrong way, living for myself, pursuing what the world told me to, and making mistake after mistake before I finally gave my life to Jesus, before I finally stepped over that line of faith and God changed me forever. And as I look back on that story, I am amazed and so grateful for God's patience with me. Knowing better, knowing who he was, and yet still not giving my life to him. And God was patient with me in the process. And this truth is also a great reminder for us. Not only does God show his patience once, but God's patience is enduring. I am so thankful that yet God showed me patience in the process, but even after I stepped over the line of faith, even after I gave my life to Jesus and he changed me, that God still shows me patience. Even though I am living a different life, even though I know the things that I no longer want to do and the things that I do want to do, and even as I fall down in the process, God is still patient with me. It's a powerful reminder of Psalm 78 that said, time after time after time, God showed us patience. And maybe this morning, maybe that's what you just simply need to be reminded of, that God has patience for you. Regardless of where you are, maybe this morning you feel like you're sitting or you're just living in your mistakes. You feel like even though you are a follower of Jesus, you just can't seem to get past this hurdle, get over this habitual sin, to just finally break through this thing. And what I want you to know this morning is God wants more for you. God does want to change you. God does want to change your life and your actions and your choices in all the areas of your life. He wants to and is going to change. But in the process, God is patient with you. As you fall down, as you make mistakes, even as you become frustrated with yourself, God is patient with you. God is patient with you when you have a bad day. He's patient with you when you have a bad week. He is patient with you when you have a bad year. He's gonna call you to more, call you to make changes, and even big changes, but along the way, he is patient with you. And even this morning, if you are not a follower of Jesus, I want you to see that God has been patient with you, but he wants to offer you this new life. He's drawing you in. He has been patient with you so that he may change you forever. And I want you to see that his patience is enduring. He is patient time and time again, but eventually that patience will come to an end. And so view it as God is giving us time and space to reflect and turn to him. And even as we follow him, he's patient with us day after day. And maybe that's the biggest thing to take away from this morning, that in an impatient world and culture, God's patience truly is astonishing and amazing, and it is worthy of worship. And so in just a second, the band's gonna come up on the stage and we're gonna sing one more song. And as we sing the words of the song, I just want you to reflect on God's patience with you in your story and even his patience with you today. And as we sing these words, would you just cry out to God and say, God, thank you so much for your patience. Let's pray. God, we thank you for that simple truth today that is full of so much depth. You are patient. God, thank you so much, God, for how you draw us in with kindness, forbearance, and patience. And God, would we use that as an opportunity to come to you? God, change us, all areas of our life. And Father, thank you for the patience you demonstrate to us along the way, even when we are not patient with ourselves. Father, we love you, and your patience is worthy of praise. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you stand with us as we sing in response to that? Well, in the second part of this message today, the hope is that we just take this big truth of God's patience and attempt our best to see what it looks like and to apply it to parenting. And as we share this morning, really all of these principles and practical things we have just picked up along the way from helpful resources and honestly just being around other parents who are a lot wiser than ourselves. And so this morning I want to introduce you to my wife, Emily. She is my better half and my partner in parenting. And would you help me in welcoming her this morning? So Emily, tell them a little bit about our kids.
Yes, I'd love to. So we have a 2-year-old, a 5-year-old, and 22 6-year-olds. And you heard me right, I said 22. One of them is our own, and the other 21 I've adopted for the year because I'm a first grade teacher. If you're wondering if I'm ready for summer, I am. And I can't forget about our college-age children because we lead a college small group, and they're also our kids.
Yeah, we get to lead our college small group here at Brazos Point, and Monday nights in our house are chaos.
That's fun. Yeah.
But Emily and I, a few weeks ago, were just laughing as we kind of saw which topic in the series was ours to talk about. We thought, I think it's a little ironic to have the parents of preschoolers talk about patience. Because honestly, there are lots of moments in our life with little kids that test our patience. And so Emily, what are some of those moments?
Yeah, where to start? I'm going to highlight just a couple because there's just a million of them. Mm. But one thing is our kids have two volumes, always. It's loud or asleep. There's nothing in between. It's either loud or asleep. And that definitely tests my patience constantly every day. And then another one is when I've got home and we've made a nice meal and we're all sitting down, we're eating dinner, and our 5-year-old's feeling a little picky that night, every night. And then right after dinner, 5 minutes later, I hear her coming and she goes, Mommy, can I have a snack? And I'm like, no, don't do this. Don't go here. And then the last one, it's just getting ready in the mornings. If you are a parent to kids in general, anyone, any age, getting ready in the mornings is always a slow process, even though you're trying to hurry to get out the door and get lunches made and all those things done. But it never fails, as we're about to step out the door, that we can't find our shoes. And even though they go in the same place every day when they come home, they're supposed to. It never fails that we can never find our shoes. So
yeah, they blame the shoe monster that moves their shoes in the middle of the night.
Yes.
Actually, after the last service, we were laughing about that, and a ton of parents came up to us and said, that's not a little kid issue. Like, I have a 17-year-old that cannot find her shoes every morning. But really, we want to talk about this because parenting is the hardest job in the world. And to do it well requires great patience. I've heard it said before that, you know, I used to be a perfect parent, and then I had kids. And the truth is, as hard as it is, it's worth it. And I love this quote from Andy Stanley, who is a pastor in Atlanta, Georgia. He says, "Your greatest contribution to the kingdom of God may not be something you do, but someone that you raise." And it's a reminder that parenting really is some of the most important work we could have. And at the same time, it's some of the most difficult.
Yes, being a patient parent is the most difficult. It's one of the most difficult jobs that I've been given. But one thing that we feel like is helpful and a helpful exercise for us is just to talk about what we feel like the win is in parenting. What's the goal? Really, what are our long-term goals? What are we trying to accomplish with our kids through parenting? And is it really that we just want them to do exactly what we say immediately, right when we say it, in total obedience with no questions asked? And really, we've come to the conclusion that no, that's not what we want. There's more that we want in parenting, but many times our actions say that.
Yeah, immediate obedience would be nice. But we've come to the conclusion the goal isn't just to create kids who obey, that actually we want to instill values over time in our kids. And we want to instill particular values that will continue to shape them long after they are no longer with us. And one thing that was incredibly helpful for us was actually something we did here at Brazos Point in our parent-child dedication. One of the exercises you do is you're given a card that looks just like this, and it's an opportunity to get together as parents and say, what are our values? What are the big wins and goals for our family? Even what are some habits we want to have? And to really say, okay, is it total, immediate, absolute obedience? No, it's these other things that we want to instill in them, and those really are the big wins. Again, Tim Keller said, we live in a culture of impatience, and parenting in that culture is hard because parenting is slow work. It takes time, and seeing the results of your work and your effort takes time. It's been described that parenting is crockpot cooking in a microwave world.
Yeah, we can say all day what we want from our kids, but it's really going to be the actions that we have that teach the greatest lessons. Because the truth is, kids model what we do. They model what we say. And if you have kids, you can relate, whether they've said something that you didn't want them to repeat or that they didn't. But really, it's just an important reminder of that. Even the other day, our girls were playing a game, and the game wasn't going so well. But our five-year-old turned to our six-year-old and said, you know, but the whole point of this game is just that we have fun. And we thought, I don't think that was us. We said that.
Yeah, five-year-olds don't say that.
No. But anyways, so we will shape our kids by the actions we display and not just the instructions of our mouth.
Yeah, and as we attempt to be patient parents, the reality is parenting can be chaotic. And parenting is filled with really emotional moments. And one of the most helpful ways we've discovered to try to display patience in those chaotic and emotional moments is just a simple idea to have a plan. And this comes directly out of this book that's called Intentional Parenting. It's written by Doug and Kathy Fields. And we actually sell them at the Guy Marks Resource Center. I think we may be sold out after the last service, but there are tons of stuff over there for you to pick up, or you could take a picture of the sheet with all the resources. But their idea here is just to create and to try to have a plan for your discipline and for the situations that you know you're going to encounter. When you think about those moments, what are the things that we constantly get into that test my patience, that require discipline? Maybe it's something that happens every day, every morning, every week, and to create a plan ahead of time of how you want to respond. Because regardless of the type of discipline that you adhere to, whether it's spankings or consequences or timeout or removing privileges, one thing that we do know is that it is not wise to discipline in our anger.
And God is slow to anger with us. So I think it's an important question for us to kind of turn it back on ourselves as parents. Am I slow to anger with my kids as a mom? Because the truth is, self-control and gentle patience isn't always a natural response. But it's something with God's grace that we can learn. And if we have actions in place and plans in place, that will help us get to that point. But you can't always have a plan for everything, but it's good to think through kind of how you want to respond in those moments.
Yeah, and the simple exercise of thinking ahead of time, how do I want to respond? what do I want to say in those moments? To think through, what do you want to do and how do you want to respond if your kids are late getting ready for school, and because of that, you are going to be late getting ready for work? So that in the midst of the emotion and the chaos, you know how you want to respond. To think through ahead of time, what do you want to do and how do you want to respond if the room doesn't meet your standards, or if they don't do something that you've asked, or if you find out that your kids have lied to you? What do you want to do and how do you want to respond? Or if you find out that your kids have actually kept something secret from you, to think through ahead of time, what do I want my response to be? Now, this is not a silver bullet to fix every single thing and issue in parenting, but it's simply a helpful tool to help us try to display patience in those chaotic and really emotional moments.
And the truth is, even when we do have a plan, it doesn't always happen, right? Like, we get it wrong often. I get it wrong often. But what I've found is that because of Jesus, we have an endless well of grace that we can draw from. Just being able to turn and ask for forgiveness when we do get it wrong, and really just being able to look to our kids in their eyes and apologize if we feel like we've crossed a line. There's something that happens with that relationship with their kids that grows when we do that. And honestly, we're not only just modeling what we want them to do when they are in a situation when they've messed up, but also it does something in my own heart when I can just humble myself enough to look at my kids and do that. But really, the truth is, our response to those moments when we get it wrong are just as important in the moments that we do get it right.
Yeah, and another reminder that's helpful in parenting is just reminding ourselves that patience is more influential than might. And that may sound weird, but here's what we mean by that. In the process of parenting, there is this process of exchanging control for influence. What that means is when our kids are little, we have all the control. They are completely dependent on us. Like, when they're really little, we decide what they do, where they go, what they eat, who they're friends with. And as they get older, they become more and more independent, and we start to let go and extend that rope of independence. And it is inevitable, eventually we will lose control, because there will come a day where they will move out, where they will graduate, and we no longer have control in their life. And so the hope is that there is a process as we lose control that hopefully we are exchanging it for influence, so that when they no longer live with us and we can control them, that we have influence in their life and they come to us, they listen to us, and they come to us for guidance and we have influence. And so this is a really good reminder that in that process, that patience will be more influential than might. And Proverbs 16:32 says this: better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city.
And that sounds crazy, but remember, God wins our hearts, not with heavy-handed discipline, but with long-suffering patience. In Romans 2:4, it says, "Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance?" And this is the type of kindness and patience we want to show our kids. What will lead our children to the heart of God and lead them to mature relationships with Jesus is gentle kindness that perseveres over time, even when that's difficult, and it's not hard-handed control.
Yeah, this doesn't mean that we do not discipline our kids, but it's just a reminder that ultimately in the process, patience is more influential than might. Another great reminder for us and for all parents is simply this: that our kids are their own people. They are. We have the most influence in their life, yes, but our kids are on their own journey. And journeys take time. And we can see so much of ourselves in our kids. And sometimes it's frustrating when our kids do something wrong or they have a habit or something. You're like, that's me in there coming out. Or we blame it on each other, like, that's you. But the truth is, even though we see ourselves in our kids, they are not us. And they may look like us in many ways, but they have their own strengths, their own weaknesses, and they are on their own journey.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter how good of a parent you are, they will make mistakes, whether it's small ones or big ones. And as much as we want to, we can't control everything they do, and we can't control everything that happens to them. But it is our responsibility to control our response to that, not their actions. Because it's hard enough to control ourselves. It takes God's grace and strength to be able to even control that. And so we couldn't possibly control the actions of our kids. So the challenge is control what we can control. And that's our response and not our kids' actions.
Yeah, and this morning as we talk about how we just want to be more patient parents, and as Emily and I just shared just real-world examples of our life with little kids, I want you to know that many of you in the room may be feeling or saying to yourself as parents, like, I just wish that we were there. And what I mean by that is you may be saying or feeling like, I just wish that our biggest problems with our kids were that they were slow getting ready in the morning. Or that you may feel or wish that I wish our biggest issue was just a messy room, or that they just continued to ask for snacks. Because the reality is many of you in the room have children who are dealing with much bigger things. Many of you have children who have left the faith and who are no longer walking with Jesus. Many of you have children who are struggling as adults or adolescents with addiction. Some of you in this room have children who are in legal trouble, or you've even had to drain your savings or retirement in order to help them along the way or afford a lawyer. Some of you have kids who are sick. Some of you have kids who have pushed you out of their life, and some of you have kids who no longer live with you, and you feel like maybe there's nothing else I can do. And as we talk about the practical ways we want to become more patient parents, ultimately, we want to just remind ourselves and every person in this room to trust the promise that God loves your kids more than you do. And in the same promises we read so many times in the Bible for ourselves, we also want to help you to see and begin to read those as promises also for your kids. And so I want to read to us something in Matthew 6, 26, and this is Jesus talking. And here's what Jesus said. He said, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And this is such a powerful reminder for ourselves. Jesus is saying, look around you. God takes care of everything, and all the birds and all the animals and all the things. Are you not much more valuable to him than those things? He's going to take care of you. It's a great promise, but I also want us to begin to read that in the context of our kids, that God loves your kids more than you do. So let's read it again. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are your kids not much more valuable than they? The truth is, God loves your kids more than you do. God has more control in their life than you do. And God is with your kids when you are not. And even this morning, as we talk about wanting to be more patient parents, you may feel like, my kids are out of the house. I didn't do any of these things with my kids, and I wish I could go back and do this or that or change something. And we just want you to rest in this promise, ultimately, that God loves our kids more than we do. And he's in more control than we ever will be. And even in this process, God is patient with you, and he's patient with you as a parent. You will make mistakes. You will get it wrong. But we want you to rest in the truth that God is in control. And God loves your kids more than you ever could. And he's got patience for you as well. Let's pray.
God, I just thank you for being the ultimate example of patience and just for continuing to be that for us in our own lives, and God, just being that for our kids. I pray that we can just look through this week and just really dive into what are the values we want to set for our kids, and how does that play out as parents. God, I just pray that, I pray specifically for those parents that are walking through some really hard struggles with their kids, that you just help them feel seen by you. God, that you just help remind them that you are in control and you are with them through each step of the way. God, and lastly, I just want to pray for this week just to reveal areas of weakness where we need to practice this patient parenting or just patience in our life, whether it be with our jobs or with our family, with our friends. God, but just thank you for these challenges, and we pray in your name. Amen.
Amen. After this service, if any of you would like to pray with somebody, there will be people at the prayer corner who would love to connect and pray with you. And these last 4 weeks, as we've been in this message series of godparents, looking at these four different aspects of God's love for us, his grace that he has for us, the truth that he leads us with, the way he nurtures us, and the patience he displays to us. The hope is that we just wanted to be reminded of how God loves you, and also to be challenged and be giving some tools to become a better parent. And ultimately, we just want to remind you, you will not be a perfect parent. You will get it wrong. But every effort and all the work you put in will be worth it. And I just want to leave you again with that quote that's so good, that your greatest contribution to the kingdom of God may not be something that you do, but someone that you raise. Y'all check out this video.